I'm Dick Barnes, and I'm interviewing this morning Don Fireball here in Brownsburg, Virginia, September 22nd, 2007, on a beautiful fall morning. Don, I'd like to ask you how long you've lived in the Brownsburg area, or when did you live here in the Brownsburg? What years?
My mother brought me and my brothers down from Baltimore in 1931, and I lived here till 1947, and then went into military service and returned to the area in 1967 when I returned from Vietnam, and have lived here ever since.
Where did you first live in Brownsburg or the Brownsburg area when you all came down from Baltimore?
Well, we lived on Hayes Creek, about 3/4 mile southwest of Brownsburg. The old place was McClung Farm at the time, and my grandfather was renting it, and he'd lived there from 1931 until the time he died in 1975.
What was your grandfather's name?
Sam Lutz.
And who were your parents?
My father was Charles David Fireball, and my mother was Nanny Lutz Fireball.
And what brought you all to Brownsburg? What was the reason you all moved to, if I may ask, from Baltimore?
My father was killed in an automobile accident, and so we came back and made our home with my mother's grandfather, Sam Lutz.
And he was a farmer?
Yes.
And you all helped out on the farm as you grew older?
Yes.
Well, what's your first memory of Brownsburg, or coming from Baltimore to Brownsburg? What do you remember about those early years of living in Brownsburg? Working on the farm? No, you were a little young then, I guess,
yeah.
Working on the farm.
Yeah. As far as Brownsburg, the village of Brownsburg, I guess my first memory I had is my grandfather sent me to Bob Schiberger's grocery store, to get him some chewing tobacco. And I was about 6 years old. And that was my first venture out by myself to Brownsburg. We only lived about 3/4 mile away.
In fact, we're sitting in that store right now.
That's correct.
Conducting this interview.
Yeah.
This was the old store that you mentioned. Well, I assume that when you became a school age that you attended school in Brownsburg.
Yeah. My first grade teacher was Molly Sue Hull Whipple.
And where was the school then?
It was on the hill above Brownsburg, on the south side of the area, on the high ground, and was in the old academy, old Brownsburg Academy.
And what year would that have been that you started to school, if I may ask?
1936.
And Molly Sue Whipple was the first grade teacher.
Yeah.
Do you have any stories or any recollections of your years at the Brownsburg Academy that you'd like to share with us? Funny stories or serious stories?
Well, I used to, we only had 2 years in the old school building, the old academy, till we moved to the new school building. In the third grade, we went to the new school building they built, started building in 1937. But I always enjoyed going out and getting busting up coal to put in the old potbelly stoves in the old Brownsburg cabinet.
And you enjoyed that?
Yeah. I got out of class.
Well, anytime we could get out of class, that was some enjoyment to that,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
But somebody had to do the fire, you know.
Yes, sure.
And you went all the years of your schooling at Brownsburg?
Yes.
And graduated 12th grade there, I guess.
Yeah, in 1947.
Well, after completing school, what did you do after that in the beginning of your adult life?
Well, I went in the military.
And that would have been?
Actually, at last of June in 1947, stayed for 23 years and retired July the 1st, 1947.
What branch of the service was that?
At the U.S. Army and Artillery. And I spent 11 and a half years in Airborne.
And were you an officer or were you an enlisted man or?
Well, I went in as enlisted and was commissioned in 1953.
And retired as a?
Major.
As a major. Any particular thing you'd like to describe as far as your days on the farm during your high school days? I assume you all still lived on the farm?
Yes, my granddad was a very particular farmer. He always wanted to get the most out of his crops because that's the way we made our living. And the way to please my granddad, the military seemed easy. And he took very good care of his horses. His horses got the first care in the morning and the last care in the evening. And they came before we did when it come to the care and the feeding them and washing them down after a hot day, they were washed down. And his harness was always cleaned in the spring and oiled before the harvest season began.
What did he produce or grow mainly?
Well, back then we had general farming, which included, we had cattle, sheep, and we had hogs, of course, and chickens, things like that. And the chickens supplied most of the money to buy things at the store because of the sale of the eggs. And then the cattle were sold, and the hay crops we had, was part of it was sold, and the remainder was to feed the cattle and the horses. And then we raised corn, and the same with it. Part of it was retained for the feeding animals, and the rest was sold. And the wheat that we raised, it was all sold, except for what we kept for ourselves for flour.
So it was pretty hard living on the farm then. There wasn't much time to relax and that's, you said, going into the military was a lot easier than living and working on the farm.
Yeah, or as easy.
When you all moved to Brownsburg, I assume that you all had your own automobile and or a means of transportation, or how did you travel back and forth from the farm to, say, Brownsburg to the old general stores?
We walked. We had, of course, my father's car that he had was killed in, caught on fire and burned him up. And of course, we had, my mother didn't know how to drive, and my grandfather didn't have a car. And so we walked to church, to school, to Brownsburg. And of course, if we had to, my grandmother would call in for groceries and Mr. Huffman would deliver them to us.
From Huffman's store, right up,
yes.
Right up the road here.
Yeah.
You mentioned church. Where did you all attend church?
Well, we went to New Providence Church. And we would walk to church out at New Providence Road now, which was all dust, dirt back then, and a lot of potholes.
How far would that have been from where you lived to New Providence? In other words,
about a mile, a little better.
Did you ever use any of the transportation that ran through Brownsburg? You know, there was a train that came through here, or you remember, of course, there were automobiles, of course. And
yeah.
If you had to go to Stanton or you had to go to Lexington, how did you get there?
Well, we would either, I remember my mom would hire someone to take us and pay them, you know, or there, we had a weekly actually twice a week, cream truck that would haul cream to Stanton, to the Stanton Creamery, and we would, they had a cover on it, and we would ride in the back of the truck.
Hitch a ride?
Yeah. And there was never any charge for it, it was always free, you know. And they, during the latter part of World War II, World War II, we had bus service that would come into around by New Providence Church that you could catch a ride and come through Brownsburg. But that was mainly for people who was working in factories and things and waiting for on stand.
Do you remember, does any person stand out or persons stand out in your mind here in Brownsburg that male or female that still stick in your mind as being leaders or citizens that that you remember?
Probably the first and most favorite person, Mr. Walter Dice.
Now, who was he?
Well, he lived here in the gray house, the brick house up here where Mr. Driver lives. He was a retired farmer. Him and his brother Charlie retired from a farm over in Dutch Hollow whenever they were about 40 years old and came to Brownsburg and lived with their wives. And they were very, he was a real strong leader in the church and a strong leader in the community as far as that time. I can't remember anything very much political except Ralph Landon. I remember the little sunflower buttons that they came out, and I had to have one. I don't know how I got one, but I probably traded some marbles for one. I do remember Ralph Landon's, that's the only thing. Otherwise, supervisors and things like that were just kind of like the good old boys. They just went ahead and done it, you know.
You mentioned coming to the general stores. There were several other general stores. Do you recall the owners of any of those stores? You mentioned the Hub.
Of course, I mentioned Mr. Schubiger and Mr. Elmer Huffman. And of course, Mr. Boswell had a small store, and the post office was located in his store. And then we had the farm store, which turned out to be the farm store, but it was originally Mr. Woody's, who now lives, business lives, is located in Lexington. And that was Mr. Engman bought it from, took it over from Mr. Woody, and then Mr. Engman was replaced by the, actually now the Rockbridge Farmers Co-op, which began its business here in Brownsburg. And Mr. Wiseman was one of the tallest Wiseman, which lived here in Brownsburg, worked in that store for many years, even after it moved to Lexington. He moved to Lexington and lived in Lexington and continued working for the Rockbridge Farmers Co-op. That, and of course, the Weitzel store, and that was also a funeral home, and became probably the, I guess you call it, the second location of the post office in Brownsburg. And of course, now the post office has a third location, which we all know.
Did you all have, when you first moved down from Baltimore and were living with your grandfather, did you have, had electrification, electricity come to the country at that point in time, and the telephone and all, was that something that Brownsburg had?
Well, we had, on the farm, we had a telephone, and it was an old crank telephone, and our call ring was long and too short. And you had to ring that by pressing the button for a long period and then letting up and then ringing too short. And Of course, if it was a party line, you might have four or five people, and everybody on that line knew what you were eating for breakfast, you know. But we didn't have electric. The ERA came in and began in 1936 and 37. Of course, Brownsburg had electric. Then the countryside, the rural area, began to get electricity, but we didn't. We had lamps. We studied by lamps up until just before I graduated from school. And they would, well, my grandfather was a little bit leery of electricity, and we just didn't have it put in. We could have had it put in, but we didn't have it put in until the last year's when I went to school. And we always studied well by a kerosene lamp. It was a chandelier type, and my grandmother would pull it down for us to study by, and we got through, she'd run it back up.
Do you remember paved roads coming to this part of the county?
Well, the road through Brownsburg stopped on the south end and at the north end at the bridge down here, and then they started paving the roads around about 1940. They started paving the roads, and Hayes Creek Road was, because that's where I walked to school on it. They came by and shot with a car and put the sprinkled gravel on it, and they they went down the road a couple miles and stopped, you know. It didn't go very far, but it was kind of the beginning of, you know, what we have today. You know.
What changes have you seen, good or bad, or both, since you came back to the Brownsburg area after you retired from the military? Good and bad.
Well, the road networks are better. And of course, everybody has electric power now. The whole concept of the way we lived in the 30s and 40s has changed. It's gone forever. I guess because of the, I would say that, I call it, they say the automobile age, but I call it the oil age. Because without the oil, the automobile wouldn't exist. But that did away with the stores and all the doctor's office we had and the bank we had. In other words, that's the sad part, but the village doesn't have a congregation of people on, say, in the evenings or during the day, but particularly on Fridays and Saturdays, they came to the village. They didn't go to Lexington because they didn't have the transportation. So I guess that was the transportation end of it is a big thing.
Have you seen better restoration and that sort of thing in Brownsburg? It kind of went downhill for a long time, I think, and it has, that part of it has improved with the restoration of a lot of the old buildings and homes in this area.
Well, yes, all the buildings in there, well, through here and many other places in the country, particularly in the farms, the buildings are painted now, and they're cleaner and they look newer. People do repairs without old homes falling down or burning down, in restoration, and you might say preserving old buildings has been at the forefront, you know.
Do you remember or do you have any of the memories that are significant that were stories or tales of Brownsburg that, I'll put it this way, that we can record? I understand there are a lot of them.
They are. Some of them are fact, and some of them are what we think is fact, and some of them are other gray areas. But I remember my grandfather and an old friend of his, Mr. Bob Reese. Mr. Reese would come and visit my grandfather just about every evening in the wintertime and sit by the fire, and they would talk about the old times. And about both of their fathers were in the Confederate Army, and they would talk about some of the things that happened, you know, and about other people, of course. I remember when the Whipple boy was shot. I just barely remember that, but everybody was all upset about that. And I don't remember about the black folk and white boy that was shot, and the fight was done, started right in this store here. And of course they were shot on the road going down to the man that shot at his house in Brownsburg. I remember that I would listen to these stories winter after winter when I was a kid, and I had them pretty well set in my mind. And sometimes I would even correct my grandfather.
They were the same stories, in other words.
They might be somewhat different from what he had told the last time, or the recollection, you know. Brownsburg was, I guess, a wonderful place to be.
I'll close this door.
Well, it's a good place to live then, and a good place to live now.
For a young person, you had so much freedom of movement. I mean, there was no such thing as a trespass sign. And people got along really good together, you know. I think back in those days, the worst thing we had to put up with was somebody stealing your chickens, you know.
I remember sometimes that the story's been told that that you also had to put up with a pretty strict principal up at the at the school.
Oh yeah.
School was a little different then than it is now too, I think.
Yeah.
Anything that we haven't covered this morning, Don, that you'd like to mention or tell us about regarding life in Brownsburg? Family history or any events or any humorous stories that come to mind?
Brownsburg was a strong community at one time. And we had a doctor, we had a bank, we had a telephone office, and we had probably more stores than we really needed, but they were all making a living at it. And I'm glad I grew up here, I'll put it that way. Some of the people around, we have some colorful characters, like Clint Troxell, and was one of them. And Clint was a farmer. Later he became a plumber, and was a very successful farmer at one time. My grandfather and grandmother both always said, when Clint bought his first car, that was his downfall. And because his family stayed on the road, and Clint couldn't afford the money to keep the gas in the car. It was hard times. We didn't have anything. We were, the kids, most of us were all poor. We had plenty to eat, but we didn't have money to spend, and there wasn't nothing really to spend for us. other than maybe a bicycle or something like that. You know. So I look back at it, it was a real plus for me. It was much better than what it would have been if I had grown up in Baltimore, I'll put it that way. And